Book 20, Chapter 2, How Helena, the Queen of Adiabene, and her son Izates embraced the Jewish religion, and how Helena supplied the poor with corn when there was a great famine at Jerusalem. About this time it was that Helena, Queen of Adiabene, and her son Izates changed their course of life and embraced the Jewish customs, and this on the occasion following. Monobazus, the king of Adiabene, who had also the name of Bazias, fell in love with his sister Helena, and took her to be his wife, and begat her with child. But as he was in bed with her one night, he laid his hand upon his wife's belly, and fell asleep, and seemed to hear a voice, which bid him take his hand off his wife's belly, and not hurt the infant that was therein, which by God's providence would be safely born, and have a happy end. This voice put him into disorder, so he awaked immediately, and told the story to his wife, and when his son was born, he called him Izates. He had indeed Monobazus, his elder brother, by Helena also, as he had other sons by other wives besides. Yet did he openly place all his affections on this his only begotten son, Izates, which was the origin of that envy which his other brethren, by the same father, bore to him, while on this account they hated him more and more, and were all under great affliction that their father should prefer Izates before them. Now, although their father was very sensible of these their passions, yet did he forgive them, as not indulging those passions out of an ill disposition, but out of a desire each of them had to be beloved by their father. However, he sent Izates with many presents to Abenarig, the king of Charax-Spasini, and that out of the great dread he was in about him, lest he should come to some misfortune by the hatred his brethren bore him, and he committed his son's preservation to him. Upon which Abenarig gladly received the young man, and had a great affection for him, and married him to his own daughter, whose name was Samacha. He also bestowed a country upon him, from which he received large revenues. But when Monobazus was grown old, and saw that he had but a little time to live, he had a mind to come to the sight of his son before he died. So he sent for him, and embraced him after the most affectionate manner, and bestowed on him the country called Kara. It was a soil that bare Amamum in great plenty. There are also in it the remains of that ark wherein it is related that Noah escaped the deluge, and where they are still shown to such as are desirous to see them. Accordingly, Izates abode in that country until his father's death. But the very day that Monobazus died, Queen Helena sent for all the grandees and governors of the kingdom, and for those that had the armies committed to their command, and when they were come, she made the following speech to them. I believe you are not unacquainted that my husband was desirous Izates should succeed him in the government, and thought him worthy so to do. However, I wait your determination, for happy is he who receives a kingdom, not from a single person only, but from the willing suffrages of a great many. This she said in order to try those that were invited, and to discover their sentiments. Upon the hearing of which, they first of all paid their homage to the queen, as their custom was, and then they said that they confirmed the king's determination, and would submit to it, and they rejoiced that Izates's father had preferred him before the rest of his brethren, as being agreeable to all their wishes, but that they were desirous first of all to slay his brethren and kinsmen, that so the government might come securely to Izates, because if they were once destroyed, all that fear would be over which might arise from their hatred and envy to him. Helena replied to this that she returned them their thanks for their kindness to herself and to Izates, but desired that they would, however, defer the execution of this slaughter of Izates' brethren till he should be there himself and give his approbation to it. So since these men had not prevailed with her when they advised her to slay them, they exhorted her at least to keep them in bonds till he should come, and that for their own security. They also gave her counsel to set up someone whom she could put the greatest trust in as a governor of the kingdom in the meantime. So Queen Helena complied with this counsel of theirs, and set up Monobazus, the eldest son, to be king, and put the diadem upon his head, and gave him his father's ring with its signet, as also the ornament which they call Samser, and exhorted him to administer the affairs of the kingdom till his brother should come, who came suddenly upon hearing that his father was dead, and succeeded his brother Monobazus, who resigned up the government to him. Now during the time Izates abode at Charax-Spasini, a certain Jewish merchant, whose name was Ananias, got among the women that belonged to the king, and taught them to worship God according to the Jewish religion. He, moreover, by their means, became known to Izates and persuaded him in like manner to embrace that religion. He also, at the earnest entreaty of Izates, accompanied him when he was sent for by his father to come to Adiabene. It also happened that Helena, about the same time, was instructed by a certain other Jew, and went over to them. But when Izates had taken the kingdom, and was come to Adiabene, and there saw his brethren and other kinsmen in bonds, he was displeased at it. And as he thought it an instance of impiety either to slay or imprison them, but still thought it a hazardous thing for to let them have their liberty, with the remembrance of the injuries that had been offered them, he sent some of them and their children for hostages to Rome, to Claudius Caesar, and sent the others to Artabanus, the king of Parthia, with the like intentions. And when he perceived that his mother was highly pleased with the Jewish customs, he made haste to change and to embrace them entirely. And as he supposed that he could not be thoroughly a Jew unless he were circumcised, he was ready to have it done. But when his mother understood what he was about, she endeavored to hinder him from doing it, and said to him that this thing would bring him into danger, and that as he was a king, he would thereby bring himself into great odium among his subjects, when they should understand that he was so fond of rites that were to them strange and foreign, and that they would never bear to be ruled over by a Jew. This it was that she said to him, and for the present persuaded him to forbear. And when he had related what she had said to Ananias, he confirmed what his mother had said, and when he had also threatened to leave him, unless he complied with him, he went away from him, and said that he was afraid, lest such an action being once become public to all, he should himself be in danger of punishment for having been the occasion of it, and having been the king's instructor in actions that were of ill reputation. And he said that he might worship God without being circumcised, even though he did resolve to follow the Jewish law entirely, which worship of God was of a superior nature to circumcision. He added that God would forgive him, though he did not perform the operation, while it was omitted out of necessity and for fear of his subjects. So the king at that time complied with these persuasions of Ananias. But afterwards, as he had not quite left off his desire of doing this thing, a certain other Jew that came out of Galilee, whose name was Eleazar, and who was esteemed very skillful in the learning of his country, persuaded him to do the thing. For as he entered into his palace to salute him, and found him reading the law of Moses, he said to him, Thou dost not consider, O king, that thou unjustly breakest the principle of those laws, and art injurious to God himself, by omitting to be circumcised. For thou oughtest not only to read them, but chiefly to practice what they enjoin thee. How long wilt thou continue uncircumcised? But if thou hast not yet read the law about circumcision, and dost not know how great impiety thou art guilty of by neglecting it, read it now. When the king had heard what he said, he delayed the thing no longer, but retired to another room, and sent for a surgeon, and did what he was commanded to do. He then sent for his mother, and Ananias his tutor, and informed them that he had done the thing, upon which they were presently struck with astonishment and fear, and that to a great degree, lest the thing should be openly discovered and censured, and the king should hazard the loss of his kingdom, while his subjects would not bear to be governed by a man who was so zealous in another religion, and lest they should themselves run some hazard, because they would be supposed the occasion of his so doing. But it was God himself who hindered what they feared from taking effect, for he preserved both Izates himself and his sons when they fell into many dangers, and procured their deliverance when it seemed to be impossible, and demonstrated thereby that the fruit of piety does not perish as to those that have regard to him, and fix their faith upon him only. But these events we shall relate hereafter. But as to Helena, the king's mother, when she saw that the affairs of Izates's kingdom were in peace, and that her son was a happy man, and admired among all men, and even among foreigners, by the means of God's providence over him, she had a mind to go to the city of Jerusalem in order to worship at that temple of God, which was so very famous among all men, and to offer her thank offerings there. So she desired her son to give her leave to go thither, upon which he gave his consent to what she desired very willingly, and made great preparations for her dismission, and gave her a great deal of money. And she went down to the city Jerusalem, her son conducting her on her journey a great way. Now her coming was of very great advantage to the people of Jerusalem, for whereas a famine did oppress them at that time, and many people died for want of what was necessary to procure food withal, Queen Helena sent some of her servants to Alexandria with money to buy a great quantity of corn, and others of them to Cyprus, to bring a cargo of dried figs. And as soon as they were come back, and had brought these provisions, which was done very quickly, she distributed food to those that were in want of it, and left a most excellent memorial behind her of this benefaction, which she bestowed on our whole nation. And when her son Izates was informed of this famine, he sent great sums of money to the principal men in Jerusalem. However, what favors this queen and king conferred upon our city Jerusalem shall be further related hereafter.